So today we're doing things a little bit differently. And I'm going to read and tell you a story. And then we're going to hear the scripture, but you're going to help me with the scripture today. It's a familiar story, and you all have things to do during the story of scripture. But hear these words from this story. And this is a story that is shared by Tony Campolo, who is a theologian, a pastor, a sociologist, a person of God. It's called Birthday Parties for Prostitutes, the Agnes Story. If you live on the East Coast and you travel to Hawaii, you know that there's a time difference, and that makes 3 o'clock in the morning kind of feel like 9 o'clock. So with that in mind, you will understand that whenever I go to that 50th state, I find myself wide awake long before dawn. Not only do I find myself wide awake, but I'm ready for breakfast. And so I go wandering out in the streets of Honolulu looking for a place to eat at 3:30 in the morning. I wander up and down streets until I find a side street that has this little place that's still open. So I go in and I take a seat on one of the stools at the counter and I wait to be served. This is one of those sleazy places that deserves the name Greasy Spoon. I mean, I did not even want to touch the menu. I was afraid that if I opened the thing that something gruesome would crawl out. But it really is the only place open I could find. The fat guy behind the counter comes over and says, "What do you want?" I told him, "Well, a cup of coffee and a donut." So he pours the cup of coffee and he wipes his grimy hands on his smudged apron. Then he grabs a donut off the shelf behind it. Now, I'm a realist, and I know that in the back room of the restaurant, donuts are probably dropped on the floor and kicked around, but when everything is out front where I can see it, I really would have appreciated that he used a set of tongs and put the donut on a piece of waxed paper. Well, anyway, I'm munching on my donut and I'm sipping my coffee at 3:30 in the morning, and the door of the diner suddenly opens. And to my discomfort, 8 or 9 provocative, boisterous prostitutes come in. It's a small place, and so they sit down on either side of me. They talk loud and crude. I feel completely out of place. I just want to make my getaway. And as I'm trying to get up and leave, I overhear this. "Tomorrow's my birthday. I'm going to be 39. Her friend responds in a nasty tone, "So what do you want from me? A birthday party? What do you want? You want me to make you a cake or something? Sing happy birthday?" "Come on," said the woman next to me. "Why do you have to be so mean? I was just telling you, that's all. Why do you have to put me down? I was just telling you that it's my birthday. I don't want anything from you. I mean, why should you give me a birthday party? I've never had a birthday party my whole life. Why should I have one now?" Well, when I heard that, I made a decision. I sat and I waited until the women had left, and then I called over the fat guy behind the counter and I asked him, "Do they come in here every night?" "Yep," he answered. "The one right next to me, does she come in every night?" "Yep," he said. "Her name's Agnes. She comes in every night. What do you want to know?" "Because I heard her say that tomorrow is her birthday. What do you think about us throwing a birthday party right here tomorrow night?" A smile slowly crossed his chubby face, and he answered with a measured delight, "That's great. I like it. That's a great idea." So calling to his wife, who was the cook in the kitchen, He's like, hey, come on out here. This guy's got a great idea. Tomorrow's Agnes' birthday, and we're going to throw her a birthday party. Right here, tomorrow night. His wife came out and was all smiles, and she said, that's wonderful. You see, you know, Agnes is one of those people who is really nice and kind, and nobody ever does anything nice for her. Look, I said, if it's okay with you, I'll be back tomorrow morning about 2:30 and decorate the place. I'll get a birthday cake. Oh, no way, said Harry. That's the guy's name. That birthday cake, that's mine. I'll make the cake. So at 2:30 the next morning, I was back at the diner. I had picked up some crepe paper at a local store, and I had made a big sign that said, Happy Birthday, Agnes, on cardboard. I decorated the diner from one end to the other. I had that diner looking good. Well, the woman who was cooking must have gotten word out, because at 3:15, every prostitute in Honolulu was in that place. It was wall-to-wall prostitutes and me. At 3:30 on the dot, the door of the diner swung open, and in came Agnes and her friend. And I had everybody yell, Happy Birthday! Never had I seen a person so flabbergasted, so stunned, so shaken. Her mouth fell open, her knees seemed to buckle a bit. Her friend grabbed her and helped to steady her and led her over to one of the stools where we sang Happy Birthday to her. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Agnes. Happy birthday to you. Her eyes moistened. And then when the cake came out with all the candles lit, she lost it. And she openly cried. Harry gruffly mumbled, oh, blow out the candles, Agnes. Come on, blow out the candles. If you don't blow out the candles, I'm going to have to. And after a couple seconds, he did blow out the candles. And then he handed her a knife, and he said, cut the cake, Agnes. Yo, Agnes, we all want some cake. And Agnes just looked at the cake. Then, without taking her eyes off of it, she slowly and softly said, look, Harry, if it's all right with you, what I want to ask is, it's okay if I keep the cake a little while? I mean, if it's all right, if we don't eat it right away? Harry shrugged and said, well, sure, it's okay. It's your cake. Keep it. Take it home if you want. Can I? She asked. Then looking at me, she said, I live just down the street a couple doors. I want to take the cake home and show it to my mom. Okay? I'll be right back, I promise. She got off the stool and picked up the cake, and carrying it like it was a holy grail, she walked slowly out the door. And we all stood there motionless as she left. And when the door closed, there was this stunned silence in the place. Not knowing what else to do, I broke the silence and said, why don't we say a prayer? Kind of looking back on it now, it seems rather strange for a sociologist, theologian to be leading a prayer meeting with a bunch of prostitutes in a diner in Honolulu at 3:30 in the morning. But it just felt like the right thing to do. I prayed for Agnes. I prayed for her life, that it would be changed and that God would be good to her. And when I finished, Harry leaned over the counter and said, hey, you never told me you were a preacher. What kind of church do you belong to? In one of those moments, when just the right words come out, I answered, I belong to a church that throws birthday parties for whores at 3:30 in the morning. Harry waited a moment and he answered, no, you don't. There's no church like that. If there was, I'd join it. I'd join a church like that. A party. That's what the story's about today. So now you're going to help me. You've heard the story of the prodigal son. It's this story that Jesus taught us how to show God's love so much that no matter what you might do or whatever you have done, where you might go, God waits and watches for us and celebrates when we come back to God's embrace. So you're going to help me tell the story, and I know you can do it. But let me help you with this. There's three main characters in the story. The younger son, who sometimes called the prodigal son, because he was reckless and extravagant with his money. So whenever I say younger son, you're going to say, gimme, gimme, gimme. Now you got to practice it. Younger son. Every time I say it, okay? Now, there's the father who loves his son so much that he'd give anything he asks for. So whenever I say father, you say, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Let's try it. Father?
Who's your daddy?
Okay, you're getting there. Now, there's also the older son, the other brother. He works hard. He's a tad bit jealous of his younger brother who doesn't pull his own weight. And so whenever I say older son, you're going to say, that's not fair. Okay, younger son. Father. Older son. Let's try that's not fair again. Older son. Okay, get the expressions in it. And as you know, sometimes money or the love of money can cause more trouble than we expect. And so that's part of this story, too. So whenever I say money, you're going to say ka-ching. Ka-ching. Money. Finally, because it's a parable of Jesus, and it's about good news and love, and since good news is celebrated and it's a party, whenever I say party, you're going to say, or he's a jolly good fellow. Party. Now you can use your noisemakers for party, too, okay? So, you got the words? Okay, you ready? Here we go. There was once a man who had two sons. The younger son said to his father, Father, I want right now what's coming to me. So the father divided the property between them and gave him a share of the money. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all of his money, there was a bad famine through all the country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pig. He was so hungry that he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one gave him any. That brought him to his senses. The younger son said, all those farmhands are working for my father. They sit down to three meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against God and I've sinned against before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand. He got right up and went home to his father. When he was still a long way off, the younger son's father saw him. His heart pounding, he ran out, he embraced him, he kissed him. The son started his speech, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again. But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, quick, quick, bring a clean set of clothes. Dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to a feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. We're going to throw a party. The younger son, gimme, is here. Given for dead and is now alive. Given for lost and is now found. And they began to have a wonderful time. They partied all night long. Now, all this time, the older son was out in the field. When the day's work was done, he came in, he approached the house, he heard the music and dancing, and calling one of the houseboys, he says, "What's going on?" He told him, "Your brother came home. Your father has ordered a feast, barbecued beef, because he has come home safe and sound." The older son stalked off in an angry sulk and refused to join in. His father came out and tried to talk to him, but he wouldn't listen. The son said, "Look, how many years have I stayed here serving you, never giving you one moment of grief, never asking you for money like your younger son, but have you ever thrown a party for me and my friends? Then this son of yours, who has thrown away your money on floozies, he shows up and you go out, all out, with a feast. Or dare I say, a party?" His father said, "Son, you don't understand. You're with me all the time, and everything that I have, that mine is yours. But this is a wonderful time, and we had to celebrate. This brother of yours was dead, and he's alive. He was lost, and he is found." This is the parable Jesus taught about a father who had two sons. The younger son, who squandered all of the father's money on parties, while the older son worked hard but resented the younger son, although both were loved by their father. This story is about a heavenly father, our God, who loves you, each one of us, too. Even when we're like the younger son, gimme, 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 and sometimes like the older son, God loves each one of us so much that when we come home to God, it's like a party. I mean, a really big party. A party where we gather at the table. A party that's for all of us. And on that, you can bet your money.